Matthew chapter 6. All right, verse 25 to verse 34. Can someone read that for us, please? 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? I want to just give us a short exhortation not to be to worry, or in some translations, not to be anxious. We live in a society with a lot that gives you a lot of reasons to worry and to be anxious. Even though we are in a wealthy country, the wealthiest in the world, a lot of people are depressed, a lot of people are anxious about various things. Some about money, some about tomorrow. There's a lot of fear. And in the Sermon on the Mount, which is the longest speech we have of Jesus, the longest message of Jesus that we have, there's one command that he repeats twice in that speech. And it's one of the longest sections of his speech. And it is this one that we just read. He says, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. Right? He repeats himself there. I want to touch briefly on why what is it that we should do about it, okay? So, the number one thing that why we should not be anxious is because the reason we become anxious is because we put a lot of things outside of their proper priority, right? The body is more important than food. Life is more important than food, and the body is more important than clothes. And so if God has given you life, you have something that is more precious than food, and it is God who gives life. But the food is good, the food is important, the clothes is important. But life and the body are more important. Something that happens to us is that when we worry, oftentimes is that we will put things that are out of their proper priorities. God has given us things that we actually do need more. God has given us the things we really need, but we're worrying about something that's less important to us, right? We're worrying about something that's less important to us when God has given us something that is much more important. Oftentimes, I'll notice that people are complaining about their lives. But really, what is it that they need, the things they really need, God has given to them. You'll see people complain about their spouse. Here are my wife's weaknesses are this and this and this and this and that, or my husband is wrong in this and this and that. But then when you look closely as an outsider, you look at a situation, you'll be like, actually the things you need, you really need in a spouse, this person has them. But you've forgotten to see that, and you're anxious and upset about things that are much less important, that are nice to have, but are much less important. And that causes us to worry. And the other thing that causes us to, the other thing that why worrying is an issue is that when we're anxious, we are basically saying to God that He does not care about us. Right? So he says here, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to his life? So they do not sow, they do not reap, they do not store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? So Jesus is saying that if the Father cares for the birds, if the Father cares for animals, how much more should we care? Does he care about us? When we're anxious about things and we're worried, we're saying to God, we don't really believe that you value us. We don't really believe that you really care for me. And Jesus is saying, well, so then you're saying he cares about the birds, he cares about all these other creatures out there, but he just doesn't care for you. So there are children here today. Now, supposing you see Elia in the morning and she's looking anxious, right? And you ask her, but what's the matter? Why are you bothered? And she's like, well, I don't know if I'm going to eat today, right? I don't know. I need food, and I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't have any money. And you ask her, but don't you have parents? She's like, yeah, I have parents, but who knows, right? I don't know. I don't know if they're going to give me anything today. You'll be like, okay, that's a very odd way for a child to be thinking about their parents, right? So it will mean that she doesn't trust her parents. All she means is that her parents are too busy, or they got something else to do, or they have some other children that they care about more, and they have limited resources. If she believes that, no, you ask her, you're going to eat today? Yeah, of course. You ask her, are you going to eat next week and next month? Of course. How is the food going to get from? I don't know. These two people here are going to go and figure that out. That's the way it is, right? And when we think about God, it's true. This is why if you study the life of Jesus and you look at the things that used to annoy him the most, the things that Jesus expressed annoyance about, lack of faith was one of them, right? Somebody came to him and said, if you can heal my son, please try to do something if you're able to. Jesus was like, what are you saying? If you can, right? He could not believe that this person, he could not understand that this person just had no faith, right? It is the same thing. If you are anxious and you're basically saying, God is an absent father. God is a forgetful father. He's got too many children. He's too busy. And who knows if he's going to take care of my need. And it's almost an insult to him. We put our faith in someone, right? Our faith is not in something, but it is in a person. It is in who the promises of the Bible have value because of the person who gave it, right? If I hand you a $1 million check, right, and then the check is written, the person who signed it is Superman, you're not going to go and cash the check. You're going to be like, who is that? But if somebody that you knew was wealthy, super wealthy, he does give you $1 million check, you'll be like, yeah, this is credible. I can take this to the bank. So it's not that you put your check, your faith in that check. You put your faith in the person who gave it to you. You trust in the person. So the promises in the Bible have value because of the person who gave those promises. And when we do not take those promises seriously, we are making a statement on the person who gave that promises. We're saying that the person who promised this thing is not reliable. It's a hit or a miss with him. You never know. Sometimes he keeps his promises. Sometimes he doesn't. You know, there are people like, do you have friends like that? One of the messages that I've been working on in my mind over the past several, that'll come as a shock to those of you who think I don't prepare for messages. I've been... I actually do think about things for months and sometimes years, and no kidding to you, before I talk them. The past years, months, probably even longer, I've been thinking about a message about keeping our word, about the oath that hurts, that the Bible talks about in Psalms. But you have people, you know, you have people like that. When they tell you I'm gonna meet you tomorrow, you know it's 50-50 whether they're gonna be there or not. You can't really hang your hat on what they say. God is not like that, right? And when you view him as a hit or miss, is we're making a sin against him, and worrying, and that's what being anxious does. The other thing that's bad about being anxious is that who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? It actually doesn't accomplish anything. It's not fruitful, right? So, and anything that we do in life, the Bible teaches that anything we do in life has to be constructive. Whatever we do has to bear good fruit. And when you're anxious, there is nothing glorifying to God that comes out of it, right? And often decision and actions that we take when we're worrying, when we're anxious, rarely glorifies God, right? We end up, in fact, that's when we end up making a lot of mistakes that we regret. It's when we're just worrying and we're trying to get something, to make something happen. You know, it's not what we have to realize that it is not useful. It doesn't give you, it doesn't produce anything. You can worry from morning to evening and it's not going to change a single thing. So Jesus is saying, why bother? Why continue with the anxiousness if it's not doing you anything, if it's not bringing anything good to you? And it's funny that he said a single hour to your life, because earlier he says, is life not more important? Meaning that the thing that's actually important, God will give it to you. And more worrying isn't going to budge anything one way or another. Now, if we look at, so why is it, you know, how can we make sure, how can we make sure that we obey this commandment? Because I just said that the promises of God are important and are reliable because of who gave them. In the other side of that is that the commands of God are extremely important because of who gave them, right? If a random person on the road tells you, stop, and you can't drive over here anymore, you might or may not listen to them. But if a policeman stands there and tells you stop, you're going to stop, right? Because the commands he gives you happen to be more important than the commands a random person gives to you, right? So the promises of God have a weight to them because of who gave them. So do the commands of God. And the same person who said, do not commit adultery, is saying, do not be worried and do not be anxious, right? So if you take him seriously, you're going to take both of those seriously. And so why is it that, how can we make sure that we do not worry? I want to go back to the beginning of the passage we read, right? He said, therefore I tell you, right? I've mentioned here many times, when the Bible says therefore, you should go back and look what it's there for. Right? So what is he saying therefore to? Because of what? Earlier, what did he talk about? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Right? A lot of worry comes from love of money. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, therefore. Right? So you got to look at there and say what he's talking about before this passage. He's saying that don't love money. Don't be too concerned about material things is what he was saying here. We live in a materialistic society, right? People, you know, it used to be that we were supposed to love people and use things. And now we use people and we love things, right? And people love their phones and their gadgets and their cars and their house and all these things. They're not bad in themselves. Money is not bad, right? We give money to the work of God and to the church. There was money given to the temple. The problem, like I was saying earlier, like Jesus says, it's a matter of priorities. The life not more important than food? And isn't the body more important than clothes? It's not that you don't need clothes. It's just that make sure that you remember that your having a healthy body is more important than having clothes. And in the same way, it's not that we don't need money. It's not that we don't need material things. But the thing is, how big of a priority is it? Is it a master in your life? You cannot serve two masters. This is impossible. And it's interesting that when Jesus made a juxtaposition, when Jesus puts God and another master, he doesn't say you cannot serve God and Satan, right? He said you cannot serve God and money. And the truth of the matter is that a lot of people are serving money. And it's odd because we live in the country where in our money it says in God we trust, right? But it turns out to be that we really trust in the money, and it competes with the place of God in our lives. We need material things, but it should not master us. A lot of the worry and concerns that people have is because of money. A famous evangelist minister had a survey done. He has a large audience, you know, people that follow him. He asked people what were, and people send him letters and mail and things like that. So he asked his staff to do a survey and do research on what are the top things that people ask for prayers about. And the number one thing was money. People wanted more money. They wanted to pay this and buy that. He actually didn't believe it, so he asked his people to go and do it again, right? You know, maybe this month's sample was bad, so try it again. So they tried it again, and they found the same thing. Now, I wasn't surprised because these guys keep on preaching prosperity, so I don't know why he was surprised that with all the prosperity gospel he has taught, why is it that the people that follow him were into money? But he said that family and so on was way down the list, right? Those are the things that people should be asking for prayer more, right? You know, they help me to be a good father to my children and help me to be a good spouse to my husband or to my wife. That's the type of thing that people should have been asking prayer for. What's more important, right? But the truth is that a lot of anxiety, a lot of just headache that we cause ourselves is because of money, because of the love of things. And we have to make sure that we're freed from that. The other thing that Jesus says to have here is to have faith, to believe that the Father knows all these, that we need all these things. And he says here that in verse 32, in verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? We have to have faith and believe that God is reliable, that God is trustworthy, that he knows that we need all these things. Verse 32, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We deal with a God who is aware of our needs, who knows that we have needs and they need to be met. Just like the parents who are here know that their children need to be fed and they need to have a place to live in and they need to be educated and so forth and so on. It is not the children who take the initiative to make all those things happen. It is the parents who do that. God is a good father and he knows that his children need all, that we need all these things. So we need to have, we need to make sure we're freed from the love of money. We need to make sure that the things of this world, the material things, are not holding us captive. We need to get out of that mentality that our lives is worth what we have and how much we have accumulated. And we need to have faith in God and believe that he cares for us. And lastly, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. The Father does give these things, but there is a promise there and there's also a condition. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Then all these things will be given to you. We seek the kingdom of God and we seek it first, right? Seek the kingdom of God and we seek it first. In what does it mean seeking the kingdom of God? It means God has some priorities, right? There is a kingdom. God is a king, and that kingdom has some priorities. That priorities right now is that the world will get to know Jesus Christ and be saved. That kingdom is now engaged in a war. There is a battle over the souls of men. There is Satan who is trying to get people to hell. There's God who wants them to be saved. There are some priorities in that kingdom. And you commit yourself to the purposes and the goals of that kingdom. You begin to seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And the other part that is the righteousness has to do with you. It has to do with Jesus Christ being Lord and King in your life. Being part of the kingdom of God means that you and I desire to live the life that God wants us to live. It means that you are seeking after God to be holy. You're seeking after God for your character to be transformed into the person God wants you to be. And then God is going to make sure he cares for your needs. If we, the truth also is that if we really sought after the righteousness of God, the way we seek for money, our lives will be totally different. If we sought for God, because look, we get up in order for us, why do people get educated from kindergarten all the way to high school, 12 years or what, and then after that, college, and after that, master's, and some have PhDs and all. What's all that for, right? It's because they want to guarantee a future for themselves on this earth, right? Because you need an education to get a, you need a job to live. And you need an education to get a job. And so it goes on like that. It's to guarantee our future on this earth. So we invest time and people go to work. You offer your time and your skills to that company. And in return, they pay you a wage. They give you money. And that's all fine. But the truth is, if we were taking the righteousness of God and seeking the kingdom of God in the same way that we pursue money, where we're faithful every day, Monday to Friday, we show up at our job and we try to do our best and try to add value. And if we lose our job, it's a big deal. Oh my, I gotta find one soon, really quick. If we were like that with the things of God, where we're like, no, I have to be faithful in seeking. I have to read my Bible every day. I have to pray every day. I want my life to be transformed year after year after year. I don't want to stay in the same place. I don't want to stay in the same grade in school. I got to move on to the next day and the next day. If we were like that, our lives would be very different. And there's a promise here. But if we seek the kingdom of God first, God will make sure that all these things are being given to us. I do not know one person who seeks God first as a priority in their lives and God has failed to provide for them. Right? I don't know one person whom God has failed to provide various things for them for their life. God is a good God and He's faithful. We can trust Him. So let's not worry about tomorrow. Life is full of circumstances. Now, notice, Jesus doesn't say that, He says that every day has enough trouble of its own. He doesn't say God will take away troubles from your days, all right? He doesn't say that God will take away troubles from our days, right? Because there's a gospel out there, if you become a Christian, next day troubles are gone, right? That's not in the book. It sounds cute, but it's not. It's not biblical. There is trouble, but God is saying that God knows that there is trouble in every day, and you make sure that our needs are met. But we have to make sure that we seek after God and put His kingdom first. One of the sad things, the things that is rare in the church, they're just people who hunger for God, who sincerely are hungry and thirsty for God. It's few. And that's sad, right? People really want to just desire the Lord. And it's almost as if God comes to His church and finds very few people who are really desiring Him. And it should not be like that. There should be a hunger and a thirst for God, for His righteousness. And what a lot of us need is just a change in focus, a change in priorities. Coming back to, God, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to do today for you? What do you want me to do this week for you? How can I help the kingdom of God today? How can I become a Christian who is more like Christ in my behavior and everything? The more of that we have, the more we'll realize that, okay, God also takes care of our needs. And we don't end up being, life doesn't end up falling apart for us because we put God first in our lives. So may God help us to, you know, not be anxious, not be worried about what's going on in our lives. And in Philippians 4:6, it says that do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, make known your petition to God. Okay? That is the answer. The answer is to know that there is a Father who cares for us. There is a Father who there's a Father who knows our needs, and if we call on Him, He's going to answer us. Amen.